We examine the life of Abraham. We see a man who was totally committed to doing the will of God from the first day of his call until the last day of his existence. And Abraham is a rebuke to older people who somehow convince themselves that their age is an excuse to passively coast in their relationship with God rather than actively strive to serve God and obey God. And even as a young person, keep in mind that God calls us to follow his will. Well, this chapter 24 of Genesis, it's remarkable. It's the longest chapter in Genesis, and it's one of the most romantic chapters in the entire Bible. There are lessons in this chapter to be learned about faith and God's sovereignty and marriage, and even New Testament salvation. However, the chapter opens with another glimpse of Abraham's faithful commitment to God in the later years of his life. And no matter what your age, faith is honored by God, and faith that continually strives to move ahead and do the will of God in accordance to the word of God. Those who end up highly honored by God start the race and they finish it. Finish well. They are just as faithful to God in their later years as they were in their early years. But look at his physical condition in verse 1. Now Abraham was old, well advanced in years, and the Lord had blessed Abraham in all things. This text is very intent on pointing out the fact that Abraham is very old, and we could decipher his age. He's 10 years older than Sarah, and he was 100 years old when Isaac was born. Sarah died at the age of 127, which means he's 137 when she died. About 3 years later, Isaac marries, and he's 40 years old when he gets married, which means Abraham is about 140 years old. And he's going to live another 35 years. And we've tracked his life since he was 75. He's been committed to doing God's will for 65 years. There's no question that God is blessing him later in life. And you see that he's prosperous. This word blessed means God had caused Abraham to prosper in all areas of his life. Relationships and friends and family and finances and possessions, they all became his by the blessing of God. But then we look at this and we see the primary concern of Abraham. Look at verse 2. And Abraham said to his servant, the oldest of his household, who had charge of all that he had, put your hand under my thigh. And so he's got this concern, and he wants to fulfill the will of God. And in order to do that, Isaac needed a wife. And to fulfill God's word, Abraham must move forward by faith. There's a commentator that said, the story records no word from God, no miracle, no cultic contact, and no prophetic oracle. It does not even restate the covenant that God had made with Abraham. It reports the hidden causality of God, sovereignly working through circumstances of those who are acting in faith. The symbolism of an oath by putting a hand under Abraham's thigh has been viewed three ways. It's a sign that through circumcision would come the Messiah, a sign that one person willingly recognized the superiority of another person. It's a sign that through Abraham's seed would come the Messiah. And so he's got these concerns. He doesn't want Isaac to marry the wrong woman. Look at verse 3. He says, that I may make you swear by the Lord, the God of heaven and the God of earth, that you will not take a wife for my son from the daughters of the Canaanites among whom I dwell. Under no circumstances was Isaac to marry a Canaanite woman. God wants those that are believers to marry believers. Then we come to verse 4. But will go to my country and to my kindred and take a wife for my son Isaac. Abraham is expressing his view of God concerning Isaac's wife when he is 40 years old and Abraham is 140 years old. God had sovereignly informed Abraham that there were several ladies in his family from which he could choose. And he didn't want him to move to the wrong country. He's got this concern of the servant says, the servant said in verse 5, perhaps the woman may not be willing to follow me to this land. Must I then take your son back to the land from which you came? And so he's concerned, and he wants to know, what should I do? Is it, would he have to go back with this girl, or with Isaac, to be with this girl? And look at how he responds to the servant. Verse 6. Abraham said to him, "See to it that you do not take my son back there. The Lord, the God of heaven, who took me from my father's house and from the land of my kindred, and who spoke to me and swore to me, 'To your offspring I will give you this land,' he will send his angel before you, and you shall take a wife for my son from there. But if the woman is not willing to follow you, then you'll be free from this oath of mine. Only you must not take my son back there." So he's warning him, don't do that. Beware. And he's understanding that when we are doing our part, God does his. And if this woman refuses, then he's free from that oath. And then look at the reaction of the servant. Verse 9. So the servant put his hand under the thigh of Abraham, his master, and swore to him concerning this matter. So he's promptly doing what God's will has called him to do. But how do you determine God's will in something like selecting a mate? Abraham's servant was given this seemingly impossible task of traveling hundreds of miles and picking out just the right woman to marry Isaac. How do you actually go about doing that? And you need to understand that the servant who will discover the perfect will of God must pray and move forward by faith in order to discover that perfect will. No one will ever understand God's perfect will by relying on their own understanding or by sitting around waiting for something to mystically or magically happen. The servant who will discover God's will is faithful to fulfill the present assignment. Look at verse 10 of chapter 24. Then the servant took 10 of his master's camels and departed, taking all sorts of choice gifts from his master, and he arose and went to Mesopotamia, to the city of Nahor. So Abraham had given his servant an assignment: go to his homeland, get a wife for Isaac. We find that the trusted servant did exactly what his master requested. He took supplies and went to Mesopotamia, unto the city of Nahor. Nahor was the city located in Haran, the place where Abraham had once lived and where his father had died. This trip was a long way from the Hebron area. It's about 500 miles. Josephus says a long trip like this would have meant the servant had to endure many hardships. Soft clay in the rain, lack of rain and in the heat, and always the danger of predatory attacks, especially thieves. There'd be nothing easy about this trip. The thing that is so important to see is, if a person is ever going to determine the will of God, he or she must be faithful to do the job God has presently given that person to do. If you want to determine God's future plan, be faithful in your present pursuits. And then that servant who will discover God's will is faithful to go to the proper place where it may be discovered. Look at verse 11. And he made the camels kneel down outside the city by the well of water at the time of the evening, the time when women go out to draw water. The servant got to Nahor. He made the camels kneel down outside the city because he knew that at evening, the women typically came to draw water. We don't find this servant sitting in a motel room hoping some woman would magically appear. We don't find him in a bar or tavern looking for Isaac's future wife. He went to a very respectable place where he knew proper ladies regularly appear. And that level of commitment to the local church, then you would see God's will. But that servant will discover God's will is faithful to pray that he will discover it. Look at verse 12. And he said, "O Lord God of my master Abraham, please grant me success today and show steadfast love to my master Abraham. Behold, I am standing by the spring of water, and the daughters of the men of the city are coming out to draw water. Let the young woman to whom I shall say, 'Please let down your jar that I may drink,' and who shall say, 'Drink, and I will water your camels,' let her be the one whom you have appointed for your servant Isaac. By this I shall know that you have shown steadfast love to my master." This servant did everything he could humanly do, but he did not believe he had the wisdom to make the call himself. So in humility, he prayed that God would enable him to discover his will. And so these two proper nouns here, the servant uses for God, Lord and God, Yahweh and Elohim, these two nouns inform us that this servant prayed with the view that God was the self-existing, sovereign, all-powerful God who is capable of answering that prayer. Servant is not praying for himself, but to fulfill the will of the master. This prayer is not about self-exaltation, but it's about successful service. And then it's a specific prayer. This specific prayer is amazing. It's asking God to reveal Isaac's bride by having her offer to give him and the camels a drink of water. He's asking God to do something very tangible. Now, I know he had 10 camels with him who are capable of drinking 5 gallons of water. In fact, there's a commentator that says that a camel could drink up to 9 gallons of water at a single drink. So this servant is asking God to send him a girl who will draw at least 50 gallons of water. And that's a remarkable prayer request. That's just amazing. Any woman who would do this would make a great wife. It's interesting that the thing the servant was looking for in his request was her physical work ethic, not her physical beauty. Does not pray that she would be unusually beautiful, which she turned out to be, but he prays that she would be willing to work hard, drawing 50 plus gallons of water. Biblically speaking, there are two types of women, those who work hard and those who are lazy. And the hardworking wife is best in sight of the Lord. Titus 2, 3 through 5, 1 Timothy 5, 12 through 14. And you know, one who never prays and asks God for his help and will not find it. The servant who will discover God's will is faithful to investigate all matters pertaining to God's will. Good verse 15 through 25. Before he had finished speaking, behold, Rebekah, who was born to Bethuel, the son of Milcah, the wife of Nahor, Abraham's brother, came out with her water jar on her shoulder. The young woman was very attractive in appearance, a maiden whom no man had known. She went down to the spring and filled her jar and came up. Then the servant ran to meet her and said, "Please give me a little water to drink for your jar." She said, "Drink, my lord." And she quickly let down her jar upon her hand and gave him a drink. When she had finished giving him a drink, she said, "I will draw water for your camels also until they have finished drinking." So she quickly emptied her jar into the trough and ran again to the well to draw water. And she drew for all his camels. The man gazed at her in silence and learned whether the Lord had prospered his journey or not. When the camels had finished drinking, the man took a gold ring weighing a half shekel and 2 bracelets for her arms weighing 10 gold shekels and said, "Please tell me whose daughter you are. Is there room in your father's house for us to spend the night?" She said to him, "I am the daughter of Bethuel, the son of Milcah, whom she bore to Nahor." She added, "We have plenty of both straw and fodder and room to spend the night." Before the servant had even finished his prayer, Rebekah came out with her pitcher on her shoulder. There have been rare moments when God immediately answers prayer. And look at her ambition. She's the first woman to arrive to get her water chores done. And it informs that she's from the right family, and that became a real possibility. The Hebrew words "very beautiful" indicate that God made her beautiful in a very exceeding way. God is the one selecting a bride for Isaac. He picks a beautiful woman. God will always give his best to those who leave the choice to him. And then we see in verse 17 informs us that when the servant saw this girl, he ran to meet her. And when he requested a drink, Rebekah offered not only him, but his camels a drink too. She is a woman who liked animals. She had a heart for them. And she hurried and dumped the rest of her water in the trough and ran to the well and drew waters for the camels. Dr. Ken Hughes observed that this would have taken her to 1 to 2 hours, sweaty hours, to do this. And so she's working hard. According to verse 21, the servant isn't quite absolutely sure whether this is the one. Apparently he had some doubt, so he carefully investigated the matter further by asking her lineage. He learned that she was the great-granddaughter of Nahor, Abraham's brother. He also learned that she is a very hospitable woman. who invited him to stay at her father's house. When Abraham's servant saw this woman's beauty, her work ethic, her lineage, her hospitality, he knew God had answered his prayer and he had found the right woman. She would make Isaac a great life partner. And the servant who will discover God's will worships God after discovering it. Look at verses 26 and 27. The man bowed his head and worshiped the Lord and said, "Blessed be the Lord, the God of my master Abraham, who has not forsaken his steadfast love and his faithfulness toward my master. As for me, the Lord has led me in the way to the house of my master's kinsman." So the servant did not attempt to take credit for his discovery. He was quick to give credit to God. There's a focus on God, then on Abraham, and lastly, the servant. And that's how God operates. You know, Alexander the Great was once asked how he had conquered the world so quickly, and his famous reply was, "By not delaying." And once God will something and it's been determined, the faithful servant needs to take immediate action to fulfill it and not permit anything or anyone to hinder him. And we see the response of Rebekah. Then the young woman ran and told her mother's household about these things. You know, undoubtedly, when Rebekah heard the prayer of verse 27 and saw the servant worship God, she heard the name Abraham. She ran and told everyone in the mother's household. And it's called the mother's house because probably Bethuel, her father, had other wives. The concept of running shows up several times. The servant ran to Rebekah, hoping she was the answer to his prayer. Rebekah ran to get water for the camels, working in a quick manner. Rebekah ran to her mother's house, wanting to report what happened. Laban ran to the servant, wanting to meet him. And in each case, there appears to be various motives for running. But one conclusion may be drawn, and that is, God's will is not accomplished by people sitting idly and doing nothing. It's accomplished by those who get moving to do something. And then we see the response of Laban in verse 29. Rebekah had a brother whose name was Laban. Laban ran out toward the man to the spring. As soon as he saw the ring and the bracelets on his sister's arms and heard the words of Rebekah, his sister, "Thus the man spoke to me," he went to the man, and behold, he was standing by the camels in the spring. He said, "Come in, O blessed of the Lord. Why do you stand outside? For I have prepared the house and a place for the camels." So the man came to the house and unharnessed the camels and gave strong fodder to the camels, and there was water to wash his feet and the feet of the men who were with him. Then food was set before him to eat. So we see that Laban is kind of an idolater. He'd track down Jacob later. It's clear that the thing that caught Laban's eyes was these expensive gifts they saw his sister had been given. So he saw this opportunity to gain wealth. So he gladly invited the servant to stay and equate the wealth with being blessed to the Lord. So God can even use these types. But look at the response of the servant. But he said, "I will not eat until I have said what I have to say." And he said, "Speak on." That word business means the servant set in row the events of this manner. And then he reports all the details intelligently and accurately. He says, "I am Abraham's servant. The Lord has greatly blessed my master, and he has become great. He has given him flocks and herds, silver and gold, male servants and female servants, camels and donkeys." And so he identifies himself as the servant of Abraham. That'd be meaningful. He identifies Abraham as very prosperous, and that would be meaningful to Laban and the others that are there. He also identifies Sarah's son as potentially prosperous. Look at verse 36. "And Sarah, my master's wife, bore a son to my master when she was old, and to him he has given all that he has." And then we see more details. "My master made me swear, saying, 'You shall take a wife for my son from the daughters of the Canaanites in whose land I dwell. He does not want that. He does not want him to take a wife from them. But you shall go to my father's house and to my clan and take a wife for my son. I said to my master, perhaps the woman will not follow me. But he said to me, the Lord, before whom I have walked, will send his angel with you and prosper your way. You shall take a wife for my son from my clan and from my father's house. Then you will go be free from my oath when you come to my clan. And if they will not give her to you, you will be free from my oath. And so we see that he's identifying his promise to find the right wife. And then there's some skepticism. The servant tells the whole truth. And then he identifies Abraham's confidence in God's leading. And then he identifies the only factor that could nullify the oath, if this woman is not willing. But then he specifically prayed. Remember verse 42? I came to the day of the spring, and I said, O Lord, the God of my master Abraham, if now you are prospering the way that I go, behold, I am standing by the spring of water. Let the virgin who comes out to draw water, to whom I shall say, please give me a little water from the jar to drink, and who will say to me, drink, and I will draw for your camels too. Let her be the woman whom the Lord has appointed for my master's son. And before I had finished speaking in my heart, behold, Rebekah came out with her water jar on her shoulder, and she went down to the spring and drew water. I said to her, please let me drink. She quickly let down her jar from her shoulder and said, drink, and I will give your camels drink also. So I drank, and she gave the camels drink also. Then I asked her, whose daughter are you? And she said, the daughter of Bethuel, Nahor's son, whom Milcah bore to him. So I put the ring on her nose and the bracelets on her hands. And so we see him specifically praying that this would work out. But then he identifies his specific worship to God for answering the prayer. Look at verse 48. Then I bowed my head and worshiped the Lord and blessed the Lord, the God of my master Abraham, who had led me by the right way to take the daughter of my master's kinsman for his son. So if the family said no, they're rejecting the perfect will of God. And then the servant requested an immediate response. Look at verse 49. Now then, if you are going to show steadfast love and faithfulness to my master, tell me, and if not, tell me, that I may turn to the right hand or to the left. And then we see the response of Laban and Bethuel. Then Laban and Bethuel answered and said, the thing has come from the Lord. We cannot speak to you bad or good. Behold, Rebekah is before her, before you. Take her and go, and let her be the wife of your master's son, as the Lord has spoken. So they said, we're going to trust you on this. We're going to trust the Lord on this. And look at the response of the servant. When Abraham's servant heard their words, he bowed himself to the earth before the Lord. He worships God. Another response of worship. And then he gave gifts to Rebekah and her family. Look at verse 53. And the servant brought out jewelry and of silver and of gold and garments and gave them to Rebekah. He also gave to her brother and to her mother costly ornaments. And then, he sits down to eat, and he and the men who were with him ate and drank. And they spent the night there. When they arose in the morning, he said, send me away to my master. Her brother and her mother said, let the young girl remain with us a while, at least 10 days. After that she may go. But he said to them, do not delay me, since the Lord has prospered my way. Send me away, that I may go to my master. And so they spent the night. He got up. He desires to return immediately. And they wanted her to be allowed to stay. But we see that they're hindering what the Lord wants. Verse 56 says, do not delay me, since the Lord has prospered me. And so the servant warns, he wants them to follow God's will. And the response of the mother and the father and the brother, they said, let us call the young woman and ask her. And they called Rebekah and said to her, will you go with this man? And she said, I will go. And then we see the end here. So they sent Rebekah away, their sister and her nurse and Abraham's servant and his men, and they blessed Rebekah and said to her, our sister, may you become thousands of 10,000s, and may your offspring possess the gate of those who hate them. Then Rebekah and her young women rose and rode on the camels and followed the man. Thus the servant took Rebekah and went his way. Now Isaac had returned from Beer Lahai-Roi and was dwelling in the Negev. And Isaac went out to meditate in the field toward evening. And he lifted up his eyes and saw, and behold, there were camels coming. And Rebekah lifted up her eyes, and when she saw Isaac, she dismounted from the camel and said to the servant, "Who is that man walking in the field to meet us?" The servant said, "It is my master." So she took her veil and covered herself. And you see there her response and her willingness and her being obedient and the beauty of that. And the servant told Isaac all the things that he had done. Then Isaac brought her into the tent of his mother and took Rebekah, and she became his wife, and he loved her. So Isaac was comforted after his mother's death. So we see this action of humility, this action of questioning. There's modesty here, the response of the servant, and the response of Isaac. And these primitive marriage ceremonies were neither glamorous, they weren't expensive, they were not costly gown, no music, no tuxedos, no candles, just a man and a woman before some witnesses and before God. And Sarah had been dead for 3 years, for Isaac was 40 when he married Rebekah, and he was 37 when his mom died. And Rebekah, in accordance with the perfect will of God, made Isaac this wonderful wife, and she's a great comfort and blessing to him.